Turning back to Proverbs chapter 16. As we'll try and bring this to a conclusion this evening, dealing with wisdom and understanding. 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding, rather to be chosen than silver. So in other words, if you had silver and gold put before you on the one hand, and you had wisdom and understanding on the other, and let's say that you had any amount of silver and gold that you could have, which would you choose? Based on the Word of God, which would you choose? And you may say to yourself, as we have the tendency to do, is to rationalize. We do a lot of that, don't we? When it comes to things that we really want. Well, if I have this gold, if I have this money, I can pay off all of my bills. And I can quit work. And I can just read the Word of God. And I can study the Word of God. And I can spend all of my time then in the Word of God. So, actually, it would be better for me to take the money, wouldn't it? Because then I can spend all of this time with the Lord. And look at all of the people that I can help. When I have all of this money, I can give my money, I can support this work, and I can support that work, and I can do this, and I can do that. That's kind of how our minds tend to work sometimes. All of the things that we could do, if only I could have this money. But God says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. And then, as we have been looking more specifically at chapter 3, and let's turn back over there, because that's where we're going to spend most of our time. 3:13 through 20. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. All of this is a comparison of wisdom to financial prosperity. Proverbs 8:11. For again, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Why is it, do you think, that so much is in the Proverbs concerning wisdom and understanding, and how that almost every time it is a comparison between that which we consider to be financial prosperity and wisdom and understanding? Wisdom is always going to be our best investment, and we need to remember that. Proverbs chapter 24:1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. Verse 14, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Wisdom in that passage is used 5 different times. When we looked at this, we looked at wisdom being elevated. That good knowledge without a good life is not going to profit you. In other words, you can have your mind just filled with knowledge, but if you do not have a life that is harmonious with that, you're not going to be profited in the least. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And why? What is the reason? The reason is that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and that we might be fruitful. We want to be fruitful. We want to be like that tree that Paul spoke about this morning. We want to be like that fig tree that is just bearing fruit that you can't pick fast enough. Not like the kumquat tree that was described that has no fruit on it. We want to be fruit-bearing trees. And this all has to do with our relationship to God as it pertains to our profession. And this wisdom and this understanding is satisfying because you cannot live just on gold and paper money alone, wealth alone. That is not going to satisfy your soul. And in the third place, we looked at it is not wearying. And in relationship to that, the things that we have and that we own that wear out. We want something so badly. We just can't wait to get it. And you know what? You think that only pertains to a child? A young person? Really? Ask yourself. Is there not things that you just want more than anything else as an adult? Sure there is. You just control it a little better than the young person. The young person just is raring to go. They just can't wait to get it. But then as soon as they get it, in no time it's worn out. It's yesterday's news. Oh, I don't want to play with that anymore. Or whatever it is. And you thought you were doing such a great thing by getting it for them. And you had to save and save and save. And then you got it for them and they didn't even want it. After they had it for just a little while. You expected them to just sit down and be enamored with that forever, didn't you? how quickly we learn, don't we, parents? It's secure. It cannot be stolen. Your gold, your money, all of it can be stolen. And if it can't be stolen out of your possession, if you have it in a CD or a fund or a 401 or whatever it is, where you have your money, it can deteriorate. You don't even have to hold it in your hand. You can go to your computer and open it up and say, "Whoa, where'd that go? I just looked at that a few days ago and I had this much money. And now it's gone." Not so with wisdom and understanding. No thief, no up and down of the financial market is ever going to affect that. Ever. And as I stated in my prayer about Paul and Silas being cast into prison after being beaten, and how they were taken, you know, we just kind of move from one scene to another. But what happens all in that? Were they just said to come along and come this way? Or these people that were beating them, was this done? This is going to hurt me much more than it does you. Do you think that's how the person that was using the whip, do you think that that's how what he had to say to Paul and Silas? Or did he take pleasure in that? And then to be put in those stocks and to be put into the deepest prison in the dark, in the night, do you think that they had the type of lighting that we have here and that they were able to see very clearly and they were able to sit on these nice comfortable pews as we're sitting? Can you imagine right now being in the worst conditions and then having your feet put into stocks? Now you can't even get comfortable in the even if you were in a prison where you had that freedom, now you have no freedom at all. And then to sing the Psalms, just the incredible, the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what they had. Indescribable. Indescribable. The things that are not seen, that are eternal, are our best things. And Matthew Henry, I gave these to you the last time, and five things, five F's. The first thought, the free thought, the fixed thought, the frequent thought, the familiar thought. All of these. Does the Lord have our first thought? Does the Lord have our free thought? Does the Lord have our fixed thought? Does the Lord have our frequent thought? And does the Lord have our familiar thought? And then as we began to look this morning, in a very specific way, about the Lord Himself in the Scriptures. And we think of having a friend. You think of having a friend. Think for just a moment, your closest friend. The closest friend. And that closest friend standing right in front of you, as you speak with them and as you look into their eyes, the Lord is as that person He is our closest friend. As the hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. I'll tell you, these last few days, I think I've seen this more clearly than I've ever seen it before, is that I and you just have to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not enough for us to have Him on paper. It is not enough for us to know everything about the Lord. All that is knowledge. We have to have the Savior, the living, living Savior. We must have Him. And apart from having Him in that personal way, we're only going to have head knowledge. And I'm afraid in many cases be lost forever, because and enter into eternity. But I knew so much about you, Lord. You may have known a lot about me, but you didn't know me. Those that were that the Lord described in Matthew chapter 7, that spoke of Him on that last day, that said, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in Thy name and cast out devils in Thy name? And the Lord says to them, I never knew you. I did not know you in that personal way. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I didn't know you. But when the Lord knows you and you know the Lord, there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing greater and more important to you than that. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing more precious to you than your soul. Nothing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use these words, your word, in our minds and in our hearts, that we might know you in this personal way, personally. To know you, Lord, is beyond description. It is beyond compare. And Lord, when it comes to dying, I think of the statement that Becky wrote of her friend that recently passed away. Upon being told that he had terminal cancer, his response, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. Lord, this is not our home. We are merely passing through, as the hymn writer wrote. Our home is far beyond the skies. Our home is in heaven. To one day be with you and to see you face to face, Lord, it will be the greatest day of our lives, because it will be after our death. It will be after we have gone home to be with you. May we see these things so clearly, and may they be life altering And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.